Hello, I'm Pastor Scott Seeke from Amazing Grace Lutheran Church in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Thank you for downloading this week's sermon. Please visit tisgrace.org to learn more about our church. Enjoy. It's time to have a very serious discussion. Who's a Star Wars fan? This is important. Star Wars fan? You're not a Star Wars? We can't be friends, Bob. I'm sorry. We were friends before, but now we can't be friends. Do you like Star Wars? Yeah? Star Wars? Yeah? Star Wars? Star Wars? Star Wars? Star Trek's good! Star Trek's good! This is not like a bashing thing where I'm saying that like one thing is better than another. Right? I'm just saying, Star Wars! I mean, when I was a kid was when the first movie came out. I'm dating myself a little bit there. Sorry, some of you. I apologize. I was very young. If you remember, the first movie was out for like 2 years. I mean, it never went away. It's the longest, I think, a movie's probably ever been shown in theaters. And I saw it so many times as a little child that I knew when Luke was about to get like bashed by the sand people. And I would hide, you know, behind the seats in front of me because I knew it was coming. I stopped counting in about 1992, and I had seen it 30 times. It's probably 40, 50, 60 now. So, needless to say, it was a big part of my childhood. And needless to say, when Episode 7 came out, I was very excited. Very excited to see the continuing adventures of Han Solo and Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker. And, you know, funny little known fact that Mark Hamill in the last movie was the same age that Alec Guinness was in the first one. So, you know, they were just, it's all part of this plan, right, to just wait until they got old enough to actually have it be legitimate. So we saw it, and it was fantastic. I really loved it. They timed it well so that the movie came out like the week before the kids got out of school. So we got to go see it during the day. You know, it was fantastic. It was, you know, there was a lot of homage-y stuff in it. You know, I don't know how big of a Star Wars fan you are, but it kind of bugs me a little bit when I know what's coming in a movie because I can point it back to this scene and that thing. I mean, and they got to stop, I'm going to be honest here, they got to stop with the whole Death Star thing. Like, find a different way to destroy the galaxy. Okay, like every movie's about the Death Star. There's got to be another way to destroy the galaxy. Pick one. Find something. Make it up. I don't care. Enough with the Death Star stuff. But, you know, there was a lot of stuff that if you watched it, you could say, oh, yeah, that's just like that. That's just like that. And you could kind of tell what was coming. But what I thought was the most interesting part about it, other than the fact that, of course, you know, we have a female hero. That was fantastic. That was great. But the character of Kylo Ren. Now, if you haven't seen it, you might not know who he is. But he's the bad guy. But he's a very interesting bad guy. Bad guys kind of come in two flavors in movies and stories and stuff. You have the evil bad guy who's like just evil, and you don't know why. They're just sort of like, it's like they were hatched that way, you know, like they're evil and we don't care why, and they're just bad, and it's easy. And then you sort of have, like, the evil person who thinks they're doing something good, right? But they're just misguided, you know? Like, they're on kind of the wrong path. The reason Kylo Ren is so interesting is because he's neither of those. He wants to be evil. And he kind of isn't very good at it. And it's kind of like, well, that's new. You know, like, he's like, he got the training wheels on for being evil. He's like, got to go to school to be evil. He's not very good at it. He's torn between, you know, this is the standard. This is why we love Star Wars, right? Because you've got the light. So you really should know all this stuff, Bob. This is really good stuff. You've got like the light side of the Force and the dark side of the Force, and good and evil, and they both pull at you and tug at you. And Kylo Ren is so interesting because in all the previous movies, you know, the characters have been good characters who were trying to resist, right? The way it's phrased is they were seduced by the dark side of the Force. You know, that you were sucked into it against your will, and it was this thing that lured you, and you kind of fell into it accidentally, and oops, look, I'm a terrible human being. who swings lightsabers. But this guy, he wants to be bad. And he doesn't quite know how. And so it's almost like he's got the two little, the angel and the devil. You know, you've seen that in the old cartoons. The kids at the 11 o'clock will probably be like, oh, I have no idea what I'm talking about. But they'll get the Star Wars stuff, unlike some people. So I'm having tons of fun, Bob. I'm sorry. So it's like he's got the angel and the devil, right? Like on his shoulders. Kind of one side is his family, right? His parents who want him to grow up and be a good kid and a good guy. And on the other side is this evil Sith Lord who is kind of pulling him to be the bad guy. And the scene, for those of you who've seen it, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but the scene on the bridge kind of shows that struggle in his face. And you can see that he's trying to decide what to do, and he's got these two influences, and he's trying to figure out which one he's going to go with, which master he's going to serve. And you know, a lot of our choices in life, while they're not quite as dramatic as Star Wars, life, death, lightsabers, Death Star, that whole thing, a lot of our choices in life work that way. We tend to repeat what we know. That's what human beings do. We repeat what we know. That's why sometimes we repeat behaviors that aren't helpful. And we also repeat behaviors that are helpful. And most of the time, when I'm doing premarital counseling with couples, it's just about them helping them to state the things that they assume to be true in a relationship that they don't know about. Because we all have things that we do and patterns we repeat and choices that we make that were influenced by others that we don't even think about. And some of those influences are positive, right? They're people who built us up. They're people who were mentors and encouragers and who blessed our lives and made them better. And some are people who weren't so nice or who did things that weren't so good. And those impact us too. I mean, really, if you think about it, a lot of who we are is influenced by the people around us. And the decisions that we make are because of those masters that we don't even sometimes even think about. Now, there's a genetic component to that. There's personality. There's things like that. Some people are just born certain ways. I get that. But when we're faced with a decision to make, that's how we tend to think. What would this person say I should do? What would this person say I should do? It's big decisions. Where to live, what kind of job to have, who to marry. I mean, you know, a lot of people tend to marry people who resemble people in their family. Sometimes to the good, sometimes to the bad. But that's what we do. We're constantly being influenced in ways that we don't even think about. Are you gonna hold the door for somebody or not? Were you influenced as a child that that's what you do, and if you don't do it, I'm gonna whap you on the hand with a stick? Were you encouraged to do it because it's a nice thing to do? Or were you just taught to not even pay any attention to people, and you never even thought about the person behind you? This is how life kind of works. We're influenced tremendously by the people around us. And in this story, Jesus is talking, really, when you boil it down, he's talking and he's asking the question, who are you going to serve? And he talks about it in the context of money, to an extent, and this story of the master. And money's a great example. Because, you know, the world will tell you that you need to buy all kinds of things to be happy. The world will tell you that you need to make more money in order to be successful and feel good about your life. The world will tell you, really, that you don't have enough, that you are lacking. And if you just get more, you can be happy. And God says, you have enough. You have more than you need. I have blessed you. You can even be generous and give generously, and you'll find that you have more than you need. We make financial decisions all the time with these two things going in our head. But it's bigger than that, because every decision that we make is influenced by people and by God. And God tells us something, and sometimes the things that people tell us match up with what God says. And God says, do this, and somebody's given us advice, and we follow that, and that's great. And sometimes they don't. And it can be hard to know. It can be hard to tell the difference, because there's all these people talking to us, right? Here I am, I'm talking with you right now. I'm giving you a sermon. I'm going to wager that it is not the first sermon you have heard. I'm going to wager I'm not the first preacher that you have heard. So what if what I say doesn't match with what somebody else said? Or what if it doesn't match something you read in a book? Or something that you read online in an article somebody wrote? How do you filter kind of everything out so that you can hear the voice of the master and know what the master is calling you to do and say and be, so that you can make the kind of decisions that will make the master happy, bless your life, make the world a better place? How do you do that? It's hard. It's hard when all this stuff is coming at you. You know, I used to read books. I still read books. But I used to read a lot of churchy books. And I realized, as I was thinking about this whole topic of serving masters, that I have slowed that down. I don't read nearly as many churchy books as I used to. I'm not saying they're bad. If you want to read a churchy book, a book about knowing God better, that's fantastic. A lot of people do. And it can be helpful. But I stopped because I stopped wanting to know about the master, and I just wanted to get to know the master. I stopped wanting information about who God is and what other people think about who God is, and wanted to just know God better. So that's what I did. And I stopped reading things about God and just started reading God's Word. I started praying regularly, daily, reading the Bible, and praying. And what I found is that that is how we can hear what the Master is saying in a clearer way. Daily prayer, daily Bible reading are the ways that God speaks to us and tells us which way to go, how to filter, how to make sense, what decisions to make, how to decide this or that. That's how we find out. It's through that regular practice of prayer and Bible reading. And there's a lot of ways that you can make that work, right? There's all kinds of emails that you can get sent to your email inbox that will have a Bible verse to read each day. There's Our Daily Bread. That's one you can sign up for. Griff, who... is Griff usually an 8:30 person? No, I didn't think so. He's an 11 o'clock person, but you all know Griff. Griff sends out an email devotion a couple, three, four, five times a week. It's really good, actually. He'll put you on the email list. That'll show up in your email box. I have an app on my phone that I just open up, and every day there's a verse of the day. You can also buy books that will give you, like, Bible in a Year, like guidelines for that. Or you can just, my first devotional book, actually, was an Episcopalian. It's called Guide to Prayer, and it's got a Bible verse for each day. And so when I first started this, I would just open it up, and that's the Bible verse for today, and I'd read that verse. There's a lot of different ways to do it. The important thing about having a resource like a daily prayer book devotional email thing is that there's some accountability, because if you miss it, it's gone. And you go, I missed yesterday. I better do today, or I'll miss that one too. You feel like you've lost something. And then prayer. Keep a prayer list. I have a prayer list. Keep it on my phone. You might be noticing a pattern here. I'm a little digital, okay? But you can use a pen and paper. Wayne uses a marker board, actually. And he can just dry erase, write somebody new in. Some of you are on it. All right? I pray for that list every day. Prayer and Bible reading. Those are the ways that we keep in touch with the Master, so that we can make sure that we're following the correct Master, the one who's going to bless our lives, the one who's going to teach us how to bless the world, the one who loves us and gave his life for us. God wants to speak to you. God wants to help show you the way. Take advantage of these opportunities and be blessed. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.